Hey, everyone. My name is Greg, and welcome back to the podcast, my first season. In this podcast, I interview people who worked in holiday ski resorts, hotels, and cruise ships, and we'll talk about their first season and the hospitality and tourism industry. My guest today and I have never worked together before, but nevertheless, he made my life heck in Club Med Columbus Isle. He made my life heck in a good way, and we'll get into that story later for those of you who do not know. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone, please help me give a very warm welcome to the one, the only LP. Hello, sir.
Hello, Greg. Thank you for having me on the show. It's very nice from you, and I appreciate the honor to be there today.
No, it's the honor is all mine because you're one of these Club Med living legends. And like I said, you made my life hell in Columbus in a very good way. But I know I told you the story, but there's a lot that don't know why. But, you know, it's a very funny story. So we'll get to that.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. So if you wouldn't mind, I mean, we all know your career, but I probably know nothing about your first season. So if you can take me back in time to the year, like what you're doing for work, where you were living, and how did you find out about Club Med.
So you know what? Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's great, and it's a great podcast. So I hope people enjoy. My first season is very funny how it happened because I was at home. I was studying in movie theater and in cinema in Montreal, and I was driving in bus for 45 an hour every day to go back and forth. And at one point I said, why am I doing that, you know? And one night I was watching the TV and there was this commercial, the Club Med commercial, like you see the beach and they say, this is 15 seconds, imagine a week.
Yes.
And I look at that, I say, oh my God, this is amazing.
I remember those commercials.
Oh yeah, they were the best.
You remember the one when it was winter and they were showing a guy in a blizzard and he was trying to get against the wind, and then the Club Med, Club Med logo would come on.
Yeah,
can you imagine 1 week? Yes. Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, so that was the trigger. And I look at that, it was in 1992. And it's funny because my dad was the president of the CJEP. CJEP is like the college in Quebec. And I told my dad, you know what? I'm fed up of your college. I'm leaving. I'm going to Club Med. I said, well, you didn't even apply. I don't care. I will look into it. And now I'm going to Club Med for sure.
Wait,
so I looked into it.
Can I interject here? What CJEP were you at?
I was at CJEP on 6. So I was living in Longueuil. So that's on the South Shore. And I was going to CJEP on 6. And I remember the trigger was like I was on a Monday morning. I had a course at 8 o'clock a.m. about philosophy of Jesus Christ 3,000 years before Christ. It was like something crazy. And I said, why am I doing that? You know, this will give me nothing in my life. But, I just said, that's enough. I'm tired of winter. I want to go to the South. So I look on it and I look that Club Med was, the head office was in New York City and the audition was in New York City as well. So when I send my resume, someone called me and said, listen, if you want to work for Club Med, the interview is not on the phone. You have to be in person. So the only place we do the interview at that time was in New York City. And I said, okay, I'm coming. So the next Monday, I took a flight, went back straight to New York City. I went to do the interview. And I remember I was meeting with Boubou Jealousy at that time. And he told me, so I did the interview, the group interview and all that. And I couldn't speak English. Well, I still don't speak that great English, but it's better than before. And, I was just making jokes and I was 18 years old. And at one point he told me, listen, I might have some good news for you. So you like the South? I said, yeah, I love it. I said, go back home and I'll talk to you. So 3 days after, he's calling me and say, listen, LP, I don't have a contract for you, but your first season, we want to put you as au pair. And I say, what's au pair? I say, well, you go pay your flight, but you don't get paid, but you go in the South and we'll train you and we'll see what happens after for the next season. I say, well, no problem. Where are you going to send me? I say, I'm sending you to Playa Blanca. Playa Blanca. Wow, I love it. Yeah, great. I look into it. And before there was no internet. And so I look at the flyers and all that, the little book. And I look at that. Oh, wow. Playa Blanca is going to be amazing. So that was in December 15. I got the call. And I was on the flight in January. So I was leaving -335 to go to the South in Puerto Vallarta. I landed there and I landed in Puerto Vallarta. So I had to do the 3-hour bus ride. So I was in the bus, I was, I was there comfortable and look at the scenery. I was like, my God, I'm living a new adventure. I was 18 years old. And I arrived at the resort and in the bus, I look around and say, there was only guys. There was only men in the bus as well. I guess it's normal, you know, like maybe it's a soccer team or a hockey team or baseball team. Okay, no problem. So I arrive at the resort and the first thing is I get out of the bus, meet the chief of village and meet the GOs. So the chief of village, Manuel Fernandez La Rosa, brought me to the bar and, he told me, "Self, you welcome to the resort. You arrive on a special week because this week there's a lot of entertainment you'll have to do because I was hired as the animateur, the entertainer, the funny guy of the resort, you know, the one who's doing the passage every day, 2-3 times a day, make people laugh or try to make people laugh." And he told me, "Say, listen, this week is a special week because it's Atlantis week." I said, "Atlantis week? What's that?" You know, like, I've never heard about that. That was maybe the second time of my life I was going outside Canada, because before I was in Australia for 6 months, you know. But I said, "Atlantis, what is Atlantis?" "Well, you don't know Atlantis? It's a gay group that rented the entire village, and there's 600 men. They're very nice, big party, but it's a gay week and all that." So my first week, my first season, I arrived as an entertainer in Playa Blanca, and it was the Atlantis week. So the crazy thing is, when I get out the bus, all the GO thought I was part of the group, and they thought I was gay. So guys and girls thought I was gay. So when I stay for the week, they thought like I was part of the group. And the week after, when I stay, it's, "Oh yeah, you stay with us and all that." So it was crazy because, you know, all the girls and guys thought I was gay, but I was not. And even backstage, you know, like when the when people were changing and all that, I never see so many girls changing in front of me. It was crazy. I was like, "Oh my God, this is my first season. I'm in Club Med, Playa Blanca. Wow, it's amazing." So finally, I stayed there for 3 months. My first season was for sure in Playa Blanca with Atlantis group. And I was lucky enough to that my mentor, because when I arrived, you know, I was part of the entertainment team, and the chief of entertainment at that time over there was Chris Hammer-Killey, that still worked for Club Med. He became my mentor for sure, and still my one of my best friends in life, because, you know, it's amazing how people have an impact on people when you arrive in the place and you get welcomed by such amazing people that you get you take the good route, the good road of happiness, of course, and of course of positive people. And Hammer and Julie was really like the people that welcomed me to Playa Blanca and taught me like the great stuff with Manuel Fernandez de la Rosa, of course, the chief village that was there. So a great first season. I stayed there for 3 months. And even Manuel Fernandez de la Rosa after that, he said, like this summer, I'm going to Gerba La Fidel. So I would like to come. I would like you to come with me, you know, like that'd be fun. And you can go to Gerba with me and do the entertainer again over there." So I guess I did a good job, so that's good. But at that time, I was working at La Ronde in the summertime, and it was very lucrative job for a student. So, and he was giving me another au pair position, so no contract as well. So I said, "Manuel, I'd love to go with you in Gerba La Fidel, but honestly, I'm going to go back home, take the summer off, because summer in Montreal is amazing." So I went back home, stay for a couple of months, but at one point,
can I interject here for one?
Yes.
Just 1 second. All right. So my question before we go on, you arrived. Did you know you were going to be the animator before you got there, or did you find that out when you?
No. When my assignment was. They say, "Listen," when I was in the interview, I guess I make them laugh. So they say, "Listen, we see you as the clown of the village, the entertainer," because I didn't have any skills. I couldn't be a sailing GO or a tennis GO, you know, like it's not like if your idol is Christophe Colomb and you want to be a sailing GO, no, it doesn't work like that. So over there, he told me, he said, "Listen, you're funny. We want to send you with someone that will teach you the job, and we want to send you with someone positive. So we're going to send you probably to Playa Blanca." So I said, "Hey, no problem, send me whatever you want." And when I arrived there, that's where, because at the beginning, I didn't really know what I was going to do. Entertainer, I thought I was going to do like shows on stage and all that, because I was really involved in improv in Quebec City, playing in the LOL League and all that. So I was comfortable to be on stage and all that. But when I arrived there, that's where Hammer told me, he said, "Okay, this is your job. You need to do a passage in the morning, a passage
at the afternoon. You have to do an entrance of a restaurant, something funny, and you have to do the coffee game, and you have to do the quiz, the trivia before the dinner. So with him, he taught me a lot of games, a lot of passage and all the stuff. And honestly, it was crazy because one of my initiation, mon initiation, was at one point I was backstage with Hammer, and he said, okay, LP, today it's a special one. We're going to do a passage, the cup and the naked guy. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm the cup and you're the naked guy. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you have to drop naked. You have to put a hat in front of you, in front of your part, and in the back to cover your butt. And we're going to run the entire village and I'm going to chase you. So you have to like a police that you escape from a mental health facility. And like, are you kidding? I said, no, it's part of your initiation. I said, okay, no problem. So, you know, I was willing to do anything. You wouldn't see that now in Clement for sure. But so I was running on naked on the beach with a hat in front and the back, a hat in the back. So it was crazy because it was as well the accident this week. So I was scared that many people will chase me in the same time, you know? So it's crazy. It was fun. It was a funny story for sure with Hammer. And so that was part of my initiation. And even sometime now he's talking about that story and always a good laugh.
So how did you adjust to the, you know, no days off, roughly, you know, 16 hours a day, 12, 16 hours a day? How did your body react to that work schedule?
Well, I, you know what, when you're young, you're energetic and all that, you have no, you know, life is good. You don't just play around and all day long, and there's no internet, no TV. So that was easy because, you know, when we're young at our age, like now I'm 47, I was playing outside all day long and my mom was coming to get me at the rink. So there's no iPad, iPhone, I everything. So I adapt well because for me working at Le Med, or it was not really work because it was just fun. I was just enjoying people, enjoying life, get a suntan, play on the beach, do passage. So I was really in my element. So I really loved it. It's funny because I work in Clement Resort for about 10 years. And when they start to install the day off a week, I didn't know what to do my first day off. I said, well, what am I doing? I said, well, I'm okay. I'll go play with GM on the beach or play volleyball or basketball or something. So I was the first day off, it was very a shock for me. I didn't know what to do. For sure, after that, you get used to it. But I even make a deal with one of my chief of sport when I was in Turquoise in 1997. And I told him, "Say, listen, don't give me day off and just remove me from the morning walk at 8 o'clock. And I'll be there every day starting at 10 on the beach volleyball." And he said, "Okay, we have a deal," because he didn't want to do the morning walk at 8 o'clock in the morning on my day off. So it was the day off was not never a challenge for me. You know, I didn't care. And especially in Clemel, it was fun just to work 7 days a week. And the mentality of meeting people and just making a difference in people's life, you know, is I had a feeling when I was in, I had the day off that I was missing something. I didn't like that. So it's, for me, the day off was not a big issue for sure.
So you arrived in January to Playa Blanca. I mean, now, did you consider yourself lucky that you missed the Christmas and New Year's schedule, or would you have rather have arrived for Christmas and New Year's in Playa?
No. I was lucky enough to arrive right after. And Christmas and New Year's is very tough in Clement. It's not like the best time, because especially to be away from your family for the first time, it's always tough for first season GO. For me, I arrived just after. So the good thing is the GO didn't have a party for Christmas and New Year's. So they did a party right 2 weeks after. So I was there for that party. So I was lucky enough to have like even the gift of the Chief Village, that what he gave to all the GO. He gave it a nice watch, Playa Blanca season 92-93. So it was a very pleasant party and it was a lot of fun because finally people knew that I was a first season, but I was not part of the Atlantis this week. So that was funny. But for sure, the Christmas, New Year's, it's always depending on the chief of village, how they handle it. Because if you tell your GOs, listen, we're going to work hard, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be set up, breakdown and all that. You won't be with your family, but I promise right after Christmas, we're going to have a big party. A big get together, the GO party and GO Christmas get together. When it's well explained by the chief village or in the manager, it passed better. The problem is sometimes in some season, chief village forget to mention that they will do a big party after, and some of the geo like thought that was difficult at New Year's and Christmas, but New Year's is always fun in Clermont, you know, living the New Year. Like, you know, I lived the 2000, 1999 to 2000 era when Le Boc de l'An 2000. So I was in Turquoise for that party, and that was the biggest party ever. Oh my God, drink so much champagne. So that was fun for sure.
In your 3 months at Playa Blanca, how long after you were there did you look around at what other people were doing? Example, the sports team. And did you want to do what they were doing, or were you happy just being the animator?
I was happy to be the animator because I thought like I had the best job because I was just making people laugh, and I had a, you know, like an easy schedule, and I could do whatever I want whenever I want. I just have to make people laugh. And so try to be creative, to find new passage, new stuff to do, new games. I learned a lot of stuff with Hammer. My second season, when I went to Sonora Bay at the end of the summer, I went with Hammer and Oreo Stern. And I remember because when I arrived there, Oreo, one point, he looked at me and say, "You've been here 2 days and you didn't make me laugh. So you have one more day to make me laugh." I'm like, oh my God, this guy is intense. So, I dress up as a caveman, and I don't know if you've ever been to Sonora Bay, but that was in the main restaurant. That was like a big giant aquarium, but it was not an aquarium with water, but that was like a jungle, like plants and all that. So I was dressing up as a caveman inside there and scare people off. And he thought it was funny. So I kept my job, and even gave me my first contract in 1993 to Cancun as a land sports. And it was funny because you mentioned earlier that, you know, we were looking to other people, other job and all that. So he told me, "Listen, I don't have a position for you in Cancun in 1993, but I want you to have a land sports contract." I said, "Land sports? What is land sports?" He said, "Okay, volleyball, basketball, water aerobic." I said, "Well, I never did that. I play hockey. That's it." I said, "I don't care. You're going to learn. I never played volleyball before, never played basketball." And he said, "Listen, you're going to be with a guy named Jenner. And Jenner from Vancouver will train you to be the best land sports geo ever. And he's going to be there." And I said, "Generous. I don't know that guy." I said, "He's the best friend of Hammer." I said, "Oh, okay. Best friend of Hammer. So I guess he's a good guy. He's a nice person." And again, it was another amazing influence in my life to have Jenner to be my roommate. We were living together on the beach. And that's where we created like the Seize the Moment event every day at the beach, because in Cancun, now the those room or GM room, but at that time there was like 8 or 9 geo room right on the beach. So I was lucky enough to be with Jenner. My next door neighbor was Pedro from Vancouver, Araño from Mexico, and Olivier de Kegel from Belgium. And we had a little a time called the Seize the Moment. We said, "Listen, every day at 5 o'clock when we finish our job, we're going to gather on the beach. We're going to sit down, drink a couple of beers, and just seize the moment." And every week we had guests. It was become like a gathering for the entire village, because they say, "Let's do the Seize the Moment." And guests were bringing beers, alcohol, and all that. It was not a feast, but it was just like just nice together. People bring their guitar, play music. So it was amazing. And even that group, the Seize the Moment group, we still communicate on WhatsApp. Oren from Tel Aviv and Rashid from Rashid is living in Croatia now. Dan Gauthier. So all that team and that season was magical, because it was my first really contract season. And I learned so much. And it's funny because how you get an impact on people, because I remember at one point I see a guy coming out of the bus, and a tall black guy, muscular and all that. I said, "I know this guy." I say, "It was one of my friends from home. It was Hendel Duplessis." I say, "What are you doing here?" I say, and he looked at me and said, "What are you doing here?" I say, "Well, I'm coming and I'm the land sports geo." And he said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to be the tennis geo." Hendel came in. And I welcomed him, brought him to his room. So we had an amazing time with Hendel, of course. And it's funny because I welcomed him to Clermont, but he is such a legend now. And it's great because he always told me, he said, "Listen, LP, that season when we met in 1993 in Cancun, that was magical, because, you know, like the impact of all the great people we had with the team, like Oreo, Rashid, Daniel, Hervé, all those people, Oren, Zev, and all those guys were together to create some magical ambience. And of course, to be with such great people that make us better people, because the impact of those people like was so positive in our life, so generous, so nice. And, you know, you don't teach people to be nice. I know there's a book, Kindness for Dummies. It does exist for sure, but you can see in 5 minutes if someone will be a good Jew or not, because it's in you. It's the way you are, and it's just the empathy you can show to people, and it's and that team and Jenner really helped me to with Hammer to achieve to bring the best out of me, to be nice to people and just create a good positive impact on people around me every day. So that was a Cancun season for sure. That was a great positive souvenir for me.
In your first 6 months with Club Med, both villages, did you experience any kind of culture shock?
Well, I was in Mexico for sure, in and Sonora Bay. The second time, my first season was okay. I was in Playa Blanca, so I didn't go outside the club that much. But I remember that at one point, that was like the bus with the GM from Montreal, I remember, got hijacked on the road. So that was like 20 GM that arrived at the resort, didn't have their passport, their stuff. So that was a crazy. And I went, oh my God. So that they got hijacked by the mercenary of Mexico, I guess. I don't know how to call it, but they got robbed all their money, all their luggage, all their stuff. So they didn't have anything when they arrived at the village. And I remember Hammer said, Hammer, you know what? This week, I don't think we should make that many jokes, because it's like those people are living something tough. And he said, you know what? This is the week that we're going to do more jokes and more crazy stuff, because they need to laugh and get their ideas away from what happened. You know, like, that was terrible, because some of them didn't have no more passport, no more money, no nothing, you know. So that week, that was a shock, because I never really lived that. And in Mexico, that was crazy, because it happened like on the road from Puerto Vallarta to the village, you know. It was very crazy. And the ride from the airport to the village was the time that the GM and the GO, I remember when I was going to the airport, it was 3 hours away from Puerto Vallarta. So you go 3 hours to Puerto Vallarta and 3 hours back. So I always tell the GM in the bus, listen, we have 3 hours to go. So we either like talk to each other, just try to get to know each other, or just read a book or something, or we stop at the liquor store and we buy some beer and we do a little party on the bus. And it's funny, because when we arrive at the village, every time that I was taking the bus with GM, and like, they were not like completely drunk, but there was a big buzz and big party, and they were so happy to get on the bus, and all the GO there clapping and all that. So it was fun. Funny ambience. So the cultural shock, for sure, it was in Mexico, and it was harder maybe in Sonora Bay, because I brought my mountain bike. I was doing some mountain bike at that time, and I went into the mountain in Sonora Bay. And I remember I was riding my bike, listening to some music on my Walkman. And at one point, I came in front of like 3-4 cows and wild cows and wild bulls. So I was so scared, because I thought they're going to charge me. So I just turned around and spin so fast to get back to the village, because I was scared that they were going to attack me. Maybe something that happened to me that was a big cultural impact was when I stepped on a scorpion in Huatuco, and it was around the pool. And I don't know if, well, people know, I guess, but the smaller the scorpion is, the more dangerous they are. So I didn't see the scorpion, but I stepped on it and I felt it. And I said, oh, well, I thought it was a piece of glass or something. But when in the next 2 hours, I'm telling you, my face completely jammed, my entire left body, the left part of my body, everything was jammed, paralyzed completely. And I went to the nurse and I said, there's something, I couldn't talk. My tongue was swelling and all that. So I was writing her like, what's happening? And so I step on the scorpion, and she said, oh my God. So she brought me to the infirmary. They gave me like 3-4 shots of tetanus or anti-vaccine or something like that. And I'm telling you, for 4 days, I was completely out in my room. I couldn't get out. Finally, it went away. But that was my biggest cultural, I don't know how to say it, but that was my biggest shock in Mexico. That was really to step on a scorpion and what to go. That was, I really thought I was going to die a bit. It's crazy. So where you flip flop around the pool and what to go, that's the advice for sure.
Exactly. I got stung also in Cancun, but I didn't have a reaction like you're describing. So I thank heavens for that. I'm guessing you're the type of guy that liked crazy signs. And if you did, you have a top three crazy signs of all time?
Crazy. Well, I was creating a lot of crazy signs I was sometimes trying to invent some because as to be chief of sport and chief entertainment, you're always on the mic and doing some crazy sign. I was not the best dancer for sure, but I say one of them I'm very proud that we invented in Motuko was Tequila Boom Boom. That was it's always a good one because remind me the beautiful season of Huatuco. Tequila Boom Boom is a good one. Carnavalera song from Cuba. That was a good one for sure. That was always a good one. And Turquoise. They are cheesy, but they always like bring some good memories of the French Chiva village, like La Botte Franquette or Agadou. You know, it's cheesy, but it's always when the music is playing, it's always bring you some great memories of some of the French Chiva village, like singing the song La Botte Franquette and all that. So, you know, there's like Muevelo, there's a lot of them, but I think we all have like a song. And I even now when I recruit new GOs, I always tell them, so you're going to look at people around the pool and say, why are they doing that? Like dancing? And the first day you can say, wow, those people are crazy. It's like a set. It's like a special group, you know? And the next day you say, oh, okay, we're going to dance. And when you go back home, you put the music on and you just dance in front of your mirror in your living room. And I'm sure that some of my friends, single geo that put some music and just dance and doing some stuff at home and just remind you some great memories of all the years in Clement and all the great friendship you made. It's funny, like different music from all around the world. You can even have like a Japanese song or Hebrew song from Israel or something, and it will just bring you like in an instinct some great memories of one specific season or some people that you really like and you cherish, you know. So music is very powerful for that, and especially in Clement, because every night music was playing. I like the song, what was the name? Let the Sun Shine. The Michael Jackson one is a good one too. So, you know, but there's always some great song that you remember, Clement, for sure.
In your first or second or third season, did you meet any celebrities there?
I met a couple of celebrity more in Calmer South in 1995. Like Thierry Lhermitte is a French actor. Gianni Versace.
Yes.
You know, Versace, the clothing mogul and all that. I met Ophelia Winter. She was a French. I met a lot of soccer players that came, and I didn't know them. So I was just talking to them and, you know, like soccer player from France, like Antoine Sibirski, Florian Maurice, Eric Cantona. So a couple of people, but not that many Americans. There were some Quebecois celebrity I met, like Jeanette Renault. When she was in Sonora Bay, she was in vacation in Las Vegas, and she came to Sonora Bay in vacation. And at that time, that week, there was 10 GM in the resort. There was more GO than, that was the end of the season, no? And I asked Jeanette, I said, listen, Jeanette, you know, do you mind like to do a song or sing tonight at the show and all that? I said, hey, no problem. I'll do it. So I went to see the chief of village. I said, hey, you know, this lady, Jeanette, she's going to sing tonight. And he looked at me and said, she doesn't know how to sing. I said, look at her, you know? I said, no, I'm telling you, you'll see, make her sing tonight. And she sang. It was amazing. And all the GOs, they look and say, oh my God, who's she? And she's pretty famous in Quebec, you know. She's a very famous singer and all that. She even sang the national anthem at the hockey games in Montreal. So it was for the people that doesn't know her, you can look her up in the internet, Jeanette Renault. So very nice lady as well. So that was not that much celebrity that I met, but that's it. No, not that many, okay. But there was some.
Okay, so you brought up Columbus 95. So here's where I'm going to mention how I found out about you, okay? Because I was there in 96. So we have a very good mutual friend in common by the name of Hansel Moss, who was based in Columbus Isle. So, you know, I was doing land sports then. And every now and then he'd say the name LP, LP, LP. And I started asking about, he says, well, you know, LP would memorize 30 names before breakfast. You know, what have you done? You know, I mean, it was always good natured, you know, mind you, but he always referred back to the prior seasons about dream teams, and you know, and your name was always mentioned in these. It got to the point, like he goes, oh, you're going snorkeling, Greg, how many names did you memorize on the boat? Well, none. Oh, that's good. LP would have memorized the whole boat by now. But by hearing that constantly, I took it more as a challenge, to see it. Because if I was an investment banker, if I could memorize 7-digit account numbers of certain clients, for sure I could memorize names. So it's not easy. You know, you have to associate a mnemonic device with it. So I was just curious, did you always have that skill to memorize people's names, or how did you do it, or just came naturally to you?
I know with Hansel Moss, you know, like Hansel Moss was another great positive impact back in my life for sure. And every time I go to Columbus, it's always fun to see him, and it's great. And I remember because he was the photographer at that time over there, and he said, LP, we need to make some nice shots, and those people need to, you know, to remember their time with us in Columbus, the Bahamas. It's so great, and it's beautiful, and Columbus Isles is such a fantastic island. And I remember people's name because, and people tell me always, I say, how do you do that? How do you remember names? And I said, well, I just pay attention. I just, when people look at me and say, okay, my name is John, this is my wife, Lisa, and we're from Chicago. Oh, great. So I always try to remember their name, but by saying again, oh, Lisa and John, oh, you're from Chicago, nice to meet you, Lisa and John. So repeating that. When people come in and snorkeling, I thought it was important to remember a name, but at one point, Ansel gave me a challenge, say, you know, I think you're not capable to remember their name or the name of the boat. I said, okay, let's try. So every time I was doing like on the snorkeling boat, that was like 40, 50, 60 people. The maximum was 80 when we do the sunset cruise. So people come on the boat, what's your name? Pa, 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 pa. So I asked everybody come on top of the boat and let's refresh the security reason, security rules of the boat. So I was saying, my name is LP, Papa from Montreal. We have John, the scuba boat driver. And today the rules are pa, 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 and we have to make sure don't feed the fish, don't do this. And today I just want to make sure that everybody know each other's name because, you know, we're like a big family. We have John, Mary, Lisa, Andrew, pa, pa, pa. So I was naming all the people's name, like about 40 people. And then so the first time he saw that, I said, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. I said, well, that was easy. No problem. Say, LP, no, you have to do it again. I said, let's do it on Sunset Cruise. So Sunset Cruise was a little tougher because it was 80 people. But when you think about it, it was on Wednesday. So I had like from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday time to meet a lot of people and remember their name because they were coming to the boat, taking their names and all that. So just to keep attention. And every time I was doing that on the boat, like, and so was blowing away, like to see that. And it's just, just good memory for names, for language as well. That's how I learned Spanish, Italian, and Portuguese, not perfect Italian and Portuguese, but enough to get by and go to the country and live and do my stuff, you know, but good memories for that for sure. I wish that helped me more at school to learn more stuff. Maybe I will have an MBA or something now.
But other than your funny cow mountain biking story, do you have like one memorable, funny, clean story or experience that stands out to you?
Clean story. Yeah, well, there's a lot of good story for sure. I think another thing, it was part of my other initiation was in, I don't know if you remember, the cowboy and the Indian.
Classic.
So a classic one for sure. Like
you want to explain to the listeners who don't know what the premise of this is.
For sure. Yeah, that was a good one. So with Hammer, my first season chief, he told me, say, LP, tonight we're going to do something. It's called the skit. It's called The Cowboy and the Indian. I said, oh, yeah, okay, okay. You're going to be the Indian, okay? So you're going to go on stage and you're going to call, you know, like you're going left, you're going to watch right, and you're going to call the Indian. And
this was a different time back then, too. I just want to add. It was a very different time, early 90s. So, okay, go on.
Exactly. So you can call like the Indian and you can try to get the crowd to do the Indian with you. I said, hey, no problem. But what I didn't know is the chief of village talked to the crowd before because I was backstage getting ready and all that, and say, okay, when LP come on stage, you do woo 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 and you do with him and you just, you know, you laugh with him and all that, but don't worry, the cowboy will come at the end and we'll arrest him and all that. So I'm there on stage, I'm doing the Indian and all that. So I look at left and I look right, I do exactly what they told me. So I look at Hammer on the side and say, okay, when the cowboy coming, I say, keep doing it. And they let me like on the stage by myself, like about 10 minutes. That's too crazy. And at one point, they just, all the GO team, not all the GO team, but like a couple of people, like about 5, 6, they came as a cowboy and got me and tie me up and brought me back and threw me in the pool. But it was crazy because it was just for 10 minutes on stage, like looking crazy and stupid, but people just laughing. And you say, they're laughing at what? They're laughing about me or laughing about nothing happening? So I guess it was kind of both, you know, but that was funny.
My next question, I think you might have already answered, because I usually ask, you know, XGOs what their most magical season was, or you'd consider Playa Blanca your first season was that magical, but I think you're probably going to mention that Cancun season, right? For you, was that your most magical season?
You know what? Yes, there's a lot of magical season. And it's funny because people ask me always, guys, oh, where was your nicest village? Where's the most beautiful village in the world and all that? Where do you work and all that? So listen, there's beautiful places everywhere for sure, because Clément, you know, they got like properties left and right around the world, and they're all beautiful properties. But it's more with who you work, with who you live your entire season and your entire 6 months or a year. And for me, I think my season in Cancun with such amazing people like Jenner, Araño, Sparrow, Oren, Daniel, Rashid, Hervé, like there was Oreo for sure, and all those people together, Paola, there was like great people together that just created like such a magical time. And even now we have a WhatsApp group called Seize the Moment Cancun, and we try to get together eventually after COVID that we can meet. So it's really with who you work that make a big difference. People that impact me as well for my first season, and with Hammer and Julie and Playa Blanca, for sure that was a big positive impact in my life. And so Moss in Columbus, it was 1 year magical. Super Village was Stefan Juana. Really love as well 1997 and Turquoise when I was became chief of sport with Jean-Marc Daisy and the team over there. No, sorry, 1997. Sorry, it was with Kevin Batt. Kevin Batt was the chief of village, and Hammer was my chief of sport. So that was another magical team. I will say that Cancun and Turquoise was my two most memorable one for people. But the Turquoise one was in 1997 was really special because Kevin Batt was the chief of village, Hammer chief of sport, and we had Red, we had Natu, we had Kiwi, we had some great, great team. We have Olivier Sanchez now, who's chief of village in Cancun. So we had like such a dream team that all those people that lived that season, that was kind of pioneer, because that's where Kevin Batt decided like to invent the Sharkies. So at one point, the Sharkies was something very, very small, like just a bar, and we were doing a band and a circus show was there, and then we do a little party. But now, like, the Sharkies is the place to be. It's such an amazing place. So the 1997 season was magical for that. I really, really like as well my season Martinique with Philippe Calvet. Hammer was my chief of sport. It's we were only five North American geo there. So Araño, myself, Julie, Hammer, and Charlie, a guy that passed away unfortunately, and we had a great time because our bond was very strong as North American. But we had as well like a lot of good talent, like Olivier Sanchez, who's now chief of village. We had like a couple of chief of village that were there with us. So it's really with who you work that make a big difference. For sure, like the places that will make... I had a bad season when I was at one point in Paradise Island. I didn't feel very well. Didn't work out with the chief of village, and I left home because my grandfather passed away, so I left. But right after that, I went to Columbus, so it was perfect. So, no, it's the people that impact you. And you know, you always say, like, the geo-friendship that you make in a season is so strong, and it's still... I know that now, it's been 25 years, I didn't see my friend, some of my friend from the Cancun season, but we call maybe sometime on WhatsApp or Zoom, and I know that if I see them tomorrow, it's like if I saw them yesterday, the friendship is so strong. So the friendship of GOs never goes away. It's just, it's so powerful. And now it's even better because with the social media, it's so easy to keep contact. And it's amazing. Imagine in that time, if we had like social media and all that, our Facebook and Instagram account will be so many thousands of followers and people. It's crazy. But I think it's a good thing as well that we didn't have any social media at that time, because maybe people were more like free to do crazy stuff and not being watched or not being filmed or pictured and all that. Maybe it was a good thing that we didn't have that. And that's maybe why our relationship were stronger, because we were more like center on people, get together, party, than maybe like stay more by yourself on your side, maybe watch a Netflix on your day off or something like that. So that was a lot of good, amazing season and amazing people that I met for sure.
Well, you mentioned before you're also a recruiter for Club Med. So I was wondering if, you know, to end this podcast, if you could make your pitch for someone who's on the fence, who's not sure if they should do it. So I don't know if you'd like to say a few words to those people listening.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like I always say that Club Med was the best experience of my life. And I think that every GO that listened to that podcast will say, Club Med changed my life. And the brotherhood and the sisterhood that you make in Club Med is so strong. I think it's the only other company or troop that has the same amount of bonding is maybe the military, like military that goes overseas, combat or whatever, like the fraternity is so strong and they're brothers and sisters for life. And I think Clement is the same way because we live together as a team. We work hard as a team, but we make friendship for life, you know. It's, you live with people, different people that you don't know, and they become your brother and sister. So I always say that when I recruit for Clement, I always say, if you don't like people, you're not at the right place. If you don't like the color of the skin of the person next to you, you're not at the right place. If you need a routine, you're not at the right place. You're not going to be rich working at Clement, but you'll come back millionaire of experience and friendship because the people that you can meet, the places that you can visit, and the teamwork that you can develop with people, your skill that will put you out of your comfort zone. So this is the pitch I say, that the hardest thing in Clement is to get in Clement. But the second hardest thing in Clement is to get out, because we all went through that. Like, okay, it's time to go. It's time to get a real life. And you go back home. And 6 months after, you say, oh my God, what am I doing here? So I was so happy. It was so great to be Clement. No responsibility. My only responsibility during the day is to get dressed, go and say hi to people and make people happy. The hardest thing is to get out of Clement, for sure, to get a real life after. Me, I was lucky enough that I was not lucky enough. The way I get out, it was sad because I left Clement. I was potential chief village. And I went back home because they said, listen, you're going to go do the opening of Clement World in Montreal. And after that, you'll come back. But at one point, what happened is September 11 happened. So in New York City, so Clement had about like 130 resort and they closed about half of it and all that. So, and imagine you had like Chiva Village had to go back to Chiva Sport. Chiva Sport had to go back to Land Sports. And even like Land Sports had to go back to Sailing Geo and all that. So everybody got demotion. And it was crazy because you were like, even me, I asked to go au pair. And go back just to go au pair, just to go back to Clement, and they couldn't take me because at that time au pair didn't work out. So I was kind of forced to get out of Clement because of that. And it's sad because I wish I had my last season. Okay, this is gonna be my last season. I can be my last show, my last great sign, my last this, and all my, you know, make great memories. But I still go back in vacation for sure. But the Clement, like because of September 11, with everything happened, like a lot of people lost their job, a lot of people like stay in village for 2-3 years in the same place. So it was a little tougher. But when I try to recruit people, I always tell them that, you know, now it's a contract of a year, like 2 times 6 months. Clement is like a big playground. You enter as maybe a reception geo. And it's great because I see sometimes a reception geo coming in and every day going to the beach. Learn how to sell. Okay, we do this. Okay, perfect. On the day off, working on the sale, working and learning and all that. Do some cross training. And the next season after, say, get promoted as a sailing GO. So it's great because Clement is a great school. When I say to GOs that come in and say, very like 96% of the time we do promotion internally, that people will gravir les échelons. So we'll work their way up. So we start like Land Sport, Chiva Sport, Chiva Entertainment, Room Division Manager, Chiva Village. So it's easy to get promoted in Clement if you want, if you have a good spirit and if you're a hard worker. We're never going to take like the general manager of another hotel chain like Ritz-Carlton or whatever, because they don't have the DNA of being a GO. To be a GO, you have it or you don't. It's inside you. I cannot teach you how to be kind to people, but when you have it and you have a great personality, after that, the opportunity are endless because there's way to get promoted inside the organization or travel to other zone. And it's great for that. So Clement is a great school, a great place to learn language. If you want to learn language, it's the easiest place in the world. Every night when I was in Columbus, I was asking the hostess, say, please sit me with Brazilian guests. I say, why? Because my dream is to go to Itaparica and work as a GO there. Because be a Canadian to go to Itaparica, Brazil. They say, listen, if you don't speak Brazilian, forget that. They won't never send you there. So I said, every night, I want to sit down with Brazilian guests and I want to learn Portuguese. Every night I was trying, you know, like trying to get by, and I was with my dictionary. So if you have the willingness to learn another language in Clement, easy. I saw Chief of Sport or Chief of Village that, well, Chief Village learned a lot of language, but I saw some GOs that worked for 10 years and never learned French or another language because they didn't want it. But if they want it, it will be possible for sure. No? It's a great place to learn, to grow yourself, open mindset for sure. If you're open, you're willing to learn, take responsibility. It's very easy to grow in the company. It's very easy like to get promoted if you want, if you have the great spirit and show your hard work. And you are the master of your destiny. So your action will speak louder than your word. And when you're kind and nice and you have good spirit, a good thing happened to you for sure.
Perfect sentiment. I could not word it better myself. But LP, I really, really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story with us, because I found it really, really fascinating. I didn't know you knew Händel before Club Med. Wait a minute. So how did you meet Händel in Montreal then? Where?
Yeah, it's funny because Händel and he was going at college or university something. So we were meeting sometime in parties. We have a common friend. And I remember at one point I saw him at the Les Deux Pierrots in the old Montreal. So a party there with him and all that. So he was more an acquaintance than a good friend, but we saw each other like, how can you not miss Händel? You know, like when you see him, you remember him. So we kind of talked to each other, but never like got a friend, like calling each other like every day in Montreal. But when I saw him in Cancun, when he arrived, that's why I said, oh my God, what are you doing here? So it was a good timing that he came to Club Med in the same time as me. And we've been growing that relationship since 25 years. And we work together now as recruitment. So it's great. Great spirit. Now he's a dad. Have a nice daughter that he got last year. So it's fantastic. Like 224 was good for him because he got a daughter. 224 was good for me because I got my first boy after three girls. So Jackson is there.
Congratulations.
So, right, thank you. But Club Med is, I think working at Club Med makes you a better person for sure. Because I wrote a blog about that, like the 11 reasons why Club Med make me a better person, because it make you grow as a person, but like your human skill to treat other people better and the way that you would like to be treated is so important, that develop yourself as a person, your sense of adaptation, because in Club Med, you know, there's none a day similar, every day is a different one. I always give an example. Imagine like if the arrival departure of the arrival of the flight of Paris is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but oh my God, there's a big snowstorm in Paris. There's 1 centimeter of snow and everybody's paralyzed over there. And the flight come at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, the GO have to be there. We have to adapt and be there. So the sense of adaptation is such a big quality to be a GO. And of course, your sense of communication. But communication, people think, oh, just talking and all that. But is listening people to anticipate their needs, to show empathy. It's all about communication to be a good GO, I think. And that's something that when you are in Club Med, you can have it, but you will develop for sure. And Clement will just make you a better person. And everybody that listens to that podcast will agree on that, because the friendship and all the people, the human skill that you develop with GOs, and of course with GEs as well, because we cannot forget the GEs. And that's how, like a couple of years ago, that we create like a new motto. It's called One Team. Everybody have in Clement a orange bracelet. And we want to make sure that the GE and GO are together to make sure that we serve the guests, but we work as a team. And for me, my biggest reward was when I was leaving a village, when GE show up at your departure, you can say mission accomplished, because that means you touched their heart, you touched their soul, you touched their family, because you treated them well for the last 6 months or year that you were there. And it was, for me, every season I was there, because guests was giving me some shirt, short, but me, I was give back mostly all my stuff to G's, because they needed more than me and I could go back home and buy some. So may make a difference when, especially now when I go back to Cancun, another village, and the G remember you, that's a great reward and it's so nice. So we have as a GO a great facility to impact people positively every day, and doing so in Club Med, it's just so rewarding for yourself. And that's how we get better people, and we are better human beings. And I truly believe that everybody that's been doing a GO or more than a couple of seasons, but it's funny because sometimes GO just make 2-3 weeks and oh yeah, with a NGO, you know, I did everything. But when you live it and you do it for a couple of years, that's where like the métier rentre. You know, it's like when you experience different culture, different team, different adaptation and all that. And it's the best experience of your life, of our life for sure. And Géo un jour, Géo toujours, you know, once a Géo, always a Géo, and the family is there. And it's crazy the bonding that we have, because I see on Facebook page of XGO that when someone need help, the entire XGO community is there to help, because we know that this family is so powerful. So that's it's so grateful to, I'm so grateful to see that and to be part of it for sure.
Yes, sir. Wow. Okay. That, I mean, this is not a positive endorsement for ClubMed, or if you're thinking about trying it, I don't know what it is. That LP, you're amazing. I'm glad I got to know you. I'm so glad you came on today to tell us about your story. And I really want to thank you again for sharing that with us. Would you like to say goodbye to our listeners?
Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody. It was great to spend some time. Great to share some story. For sure, we have some other story, but we cannot say here for sure. But eventually, maybe that will get out. But one of my... I know it's funny because one of my projects, and I decided, and I'll tell you why I decided that last week. Unfortunately, one of my good friends, XGO, that passed away last week in Cancun as a motorcycle accident. So he died right away. But that guy always taught me, say, live your day fully every day and never look back. Enjoy every day, seize the moment, and enjoy life every day, because it's, you never know what can happen. So one of my project for sure is, I know that you did it before, Greg, but it's to get my friend Red, my friend Freddie Birmingham, Pirate, Endel, and Martin Desgagnés, and we want to get, and especially this year with stuff with COVID, we want to rent a chalet in the north for a weekend. We want to get someone, a writer, in the corner of the room, and this job will just write the story. And we just want to drink beer for the, well, not the entire weekend, but a couple of beers, and explain and tell all our story about ClubMed. That can be, you know, like some stuff that can be written and maybe not, but just to create like a memories of all our stories for ClubMed, just to cherish that great time together, and to have that in writing that we never forget. So that's one of our projects, because we decided to do that. Because COVID was tough for everybody, and next time we can get all together, we'll do that for sure.
Well, I am sure your podcast will bring a smile to a lot of faces, and I really want to thank you again, LP. So from the bottom of my heart, I say goodbye to you. I say bye to our listeners. Until next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.